All right, I'd like you to take your Bibles this morning and turn to Romans chapter 8. When we do it God's way, He wants us to be the head and not the tail. In the next two messages, we're going to talk more about how and the kingdom will be ours once again.
Welcome to Mission to Israel, a broadcast ministry featuring author, teacher, and evangelist Ted R. Weiland. The focus of this ministry is to open the eyes of our people and give insight into the issues we find ourselves facing in this day and age. Our address is Mission to Israel, Post Office Box 248, Scotts Bluff, Nebraska 69363, or you can reach us via the web at www.missiontoisrael.org. And now, here is Ted Weiland.
Take your Bibles this morning, if you would, and let's turn to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. Inspiration for sermons come in a variety of ways. This one is a result of a challenge from my son Derek. Knowing my proclivity toward long multiple message series, he challenged me to see if I could preach a single message on either the nine fruits of the Spirit or the seven pillars of godly wisdom. Well, I've decided to take him up on his challenge, and if for no other reason, then there's two less pillars than there is fruits, I've decided on the seven pillars of godly wisdom, referenced in Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 1 and listed in James chapter 3 and verse 17. Wisdom that's first pure, peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, and without hypocrisy, as I memorized it from the New American Standard Bible many years ago. King James is a little bit different wording, but pretty close to the same. This will be seeking godly wisdom. Seeking godly wisdom. Now, before taking a closer look at those seven pillars, another look at them, let's first discuss wisdom in general, beginning with Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8, beginning with verse 1, verses 1 through 4 to begin with. It says, "Does not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of the high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call," that is wisdom, "and my voice is to the sons of men." Verse 1 again asks the questions, "Does not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice?" Those are rhetorical questions in verse 1. Wisdom does indeed do all of that as reflected in verses 2 through 4. She's readily available. She's right there. She's crying out. She's making herself evident at the doorpost, at the gates, and on the high places. She's right there, readily to be assessed, accessed, and gained by all of those who diligently seek her. How unfortunate that so few actually do so, particularly with all that she has to offer those who do, and some of which we're going to see here, and it's an inexhaustible list that the Bible only begins to touch on, but we'll see some of it in here in this chapter. Beginning in verse 5, where it says, "O simple," I'm going to stop there before we see where it goes to here, but I want you to first notice that it ends in what we just read in verse 4. It ends in speaking to all men. Verse 4 again, "Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men." But now notice all of a sudden it's got narrowed down to not all men, but to the simple, or in this case, the naive. And so we go on. Verse 5, it says, "O ye simple," or naive, some versions say, "understand wisdom." "Understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye an understanding, be ye of an understanding heart." So he begins with all men, and now he's narrowed it down, but I got a feeling not too much. I think it's the majority still that he's speaking to who are described as the naive and the fools. Those who refuse wisdom, not just wisdom, but who refuse wisdom's innate treasures are naive at best. And not only naive, but utter fools. Verses 6 through 9, it says, "Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing forward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge." Verse 6 depicts wisdom as conferring not just good things, but that which is described here as excellent. When reading that, I can't help but think of Psalms 119 and verse 18, where the psalmist prayed. He said, "Open my eyes, O Lord, that I may behold wonderful or excellent things from thy law." Where, along with Proverbs, of course, we find the bulk of Yahweh's wisdom detailed. He said, open my mind that I may find your wisdom, that I may find these wonderful things, these excellent things that, for the most part, are found in your law, your commandment, your moral law, your commandments, statutes, and judgments. Yeah, also, if you'll recall, that which is excellent is one of the things that the Apostle Paul charged the Christians at Philippi to meditate on in Philippians 4:8. Remember, there's a whole list there of things, truth and other things, that which is good and that which is, in fact, excellent, are amongst a number of items that he says that we as Christians should meditate upon. "Therefore, the wise man will spend time, he will spend time pondering the wisdom of God from which excellence is garnered." Do you want to not just succeed, but to exceed? That is, to excel, then you'll need to, if you do, you'll need to seek. You'll need to pursue, you'll need to hunt down the wisdom of God. That's what's being reflected here by Solomon, the wisest of men, at least at that time, telling us that, listen, I know God gave me wisdom. Of course, he squandered it in some cases in what he did, but he learned from that as well enough to be able to pass on the knowledge of his mistakes in many cases and knowledge of his successes as well. And that's the emphasis here and throughout the book of Proverbs, but particularly here in chapter 8 and some of the earlier chapters, where he's saying, seek it, pursue it, hunt it down. That's how much it's worth. And therefore, if you intend to not just succeed, but to exceed, you'll have to pursue godly wisdom. The Hebrew word translated excellent here is the same word that's often translated noble when referring to kings and princes, either as a noun or as an adjective. It's the same word, excellent or noble. Wisdom not only speaks of excellent things, not only speaks of the noble, but godly wisdom is what makes one noble. True nobility is not inherited. It does not come by election, well, at least by man's elections. I mean, just look around you and you can figure that out pretty quickly. That's not where nobility comes from. True nobility can only be attained by the wisdom that's imparted by our God Yahweh, the author and the genesis of true nobility. Is he not? Isn't that? That's where it comes from. He's the only one, the genesis and author of nobility that it can come from, that it can be imparted to us. Look at verse 7 again. "For my mouth shall speak truth," and then it ends up by saying, "and wickedness Let's go back there for a minute. From my mouth, it's not talking specifically Yahweh's mouth here, although it is, but it's speaking wisdom's mouth. It says, "The wisdom out of wisdom's mouth, truth shall emanate." But then it balances it and says, "And wickedness is an abomination to my wisdom's lips." Where wisdom is found, wickedness will be all but annihilated, where true wisdom is found. All right, let's pick it up with verses 10 through 11. It says, "Receive my instruction." And keep in mind, the "my" here is wisdom. What's the word I want? Come alive. When you personified, it's wisdom personified is what it is. So the "my," when we go through here, "my," "me," "I," that's, it's all wisdom. It's referring to wisdom here. Verses 10 through 10 and 11. "Receive my instruction," wisdom instruction, "and not silver and knowledge," "rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Given a choice of a cupful of godly wisdom or a houseful of silver, gold, and rubies, which would you choose?" The imbecile, and that's pretty frank, but it really is the case, and there are many such morons, chooses the houseful of gold and silver and jewels. And it's for this reason, or at least this has certainly got to be a part of the reason for the admonition in Matthew chapter 6 and verses 19 through 21. In fact, I'm not going to just read it to you. This is such an important admonition here. Let's keep your place there in Proverbs 8. Turn over to Matthew chapter 6, and you might want to read this together with me. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. And it's for this reason that we find this admonition, or at least this is certainly part of the reason for the admonition. Verse 19, he says, "Lay up not for yourselves treasures upon earth," silver, gold, houses, all of this stuff. Are we not to do that at all? No, that's not what it's saying. It's talking about it in let it not be your goal. Let it not be your objective in life, which it is for the vast majority, it would appear, of most people living today, in one sense or another. "Lay up not for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal." Verse 20, "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will be your heart also." Temporal riches are eventually subject to entropy, the second law of thermodynamics. Whereas godly wisdom is not only eternal, but it's a non-exhaustible font of riches, both eternal and temporal alike. Look at verse 12, back in Proverbs chapter 8. Verse 12, he says, "I, wisdom," here we're talking about some of the eternal riches. "I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions." Now, what do you think that means? "And I find out knowledge of witty inventions." That's one of those not so clear passages in the King James. So let me read it to you in the New American Standard. New American Standard says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion." Wisdom, by its very nature, seeks out. It dwells with prudence, and it seeks out knowledge and discretion. Three eternal riches, along with wisdom, that wisdom provides. Verse 13, "The fear of Yahweh is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate." Now, why do you suppose, in a discussion of wisdom, do you think that God chose to include a verse about fearing Yahweh? I think you know. Well, because according to both Kings David and Solomon. I think a lot of people just think Solomon's the only one who said this, but David said it as well in Psalms 111:10 and Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. We're told by both of those men that the fear of Yahweh is the beginning, the genesis, the very genesis of wisdom. And thus the two, the fear of Yahweh and wisdom, are inseparable. There are many learned men. Note, I did not say intelligent. For understanding, we're also told that understanding also begins with the fear of Yahweh in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. There are many learned men, but without the fear of Yahweh as its genesis, they are not wise men. You can be a learned man. There are many such learned men who don't even have common sense. Certainly, learned men who do not have the fear of Yahweh because they have rejected the very source of knowledge and understanding as expressed and embodied in God, in Christ. Any man who has rejected Christ has rejected wisdom, the wisdom of Yahweh. Colossians 2, chapter 2, and verse 3, here it is. Unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of the Christ, in whom is hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. End of quote. Hid to all? No. Not to the remnant, but hid to the world. And thus there are many men who are learned, but certainly who are not wise. And thus those who reject the source, are limited. In fact, could be described as mentally crippled as to just how completely they'll ever be able to fully comprehend their chosen fields of quote-unquote expertise, having rejected the source of not only wisdom, but knowledge as well. Back to verse 13. The fear of Yahweh, it says, is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate. Again, the fear of Yahweh and wisdom are indivisible. Thus, a man of wisdom hates evil, pride, arrogance. Got any of that in your life? Well, if you're a wise man, yeah, it's there. But you'll hate it when it props up its ugly head. And any evil way in the forward mouth. That's verse 13. Which brings us right back really to verse 7. For my mouth, wisdom's mouth, shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Consequently, any man who does not hate those things is therefore indicative of a numbskull, lacking both the fear of Yahweh and godly wisdom alike. Verse 14, it says, counsel is mine, again, mine being wisdom, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. Wisdom is saying that counsel is his and sound wisdom is his. Sound wisdom, the difference between godly wisdom and its earthly surrogate, which James deals with in James chapter 3. Before that list of the seven pillars of godly wisdom, he contrasts earthly wisdom, earthly quote-unquote wisdom, and godly wisdom. Godly wisdom is what here Solomon describes as sound wisdom. Wisdom possesses not just wisdom as man may ascertain it to be, but it's sound wisdom, because it's godly wisdom. Verses 14 through 17. Verse 14, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me. You want godly wisdom? Then love it. Pursue it, seek it, hunt it down, But first of all, love it. And God promises that it'll love you. It's essentially the same that God says, draw near unto me, and I'll draw near unto you. Well, Christ is the personification of wisdom, and therefore, if we draw near to him, or if we draw near to wisdom, if we love him, we'll love wisdom. And if we love wisdom, wisdom will love us back in return. It's promising blessings abounding above our imagination. I love them that love me. Let me check again where I wanted to go, the end of this verse. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Young people, do not squander your youth like so many do on childish pursuits. Seek wisdom early in your life, and Yahweh promises you'll find it. Now, God sometimes lets some of the older folks find it too, by his grace and mercy. But he says, listen, you as a young person, if you will seek it early, you will find it. Put it off. And the fact is, the opposite side of the coin is you may never realize it. It may never happen. Ecclesiastes 11, 9 through 12 and verse 1. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all of these things God will bring thee unto judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Right, Hirsch? It's gone for both of us. Chapter 12 and verse 1. Remember now thy Creator, remember thou thy Christ, remember thou thy wisdom. In the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Seek wisdom early, and you'll find it. What a great promise to our young people. And I can tell you this much, you're not going to find wisdom spending time playing video games like so many of our youth are. Not only are today's young people squandering their youth on video games, they're also squandering their opportunity for having wisdom that will provide dividends through the remainder of their life. Now, occasional entertainment, video games or whatever, is fine. It's another thing altogether if they're spending the majority of their time merely playing games. What a waste of youth. And yeah, that's what youth wants to do. But there's plenty of admonitions like we find here in Proverbs chapter 8 and Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and 12 to say, be one of those like Daniel, Meshach, Abednego, and such Jeremiah, who was but a youth when called of Yahweh and responded, and others as well, David and Timothy. Be like them. Be one of the remnant who doesn't just do the youthful thing and squander it away and lose what will be a down payment on immeasurable wealth from Yahweh. All right, back to Proverbs chapter 8, verse 18. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasuries. Verse 19 is essentially a repeat of verse 11, but note again the promise in verse 18. Verse 18, riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. Not just riches, but durable riches and righteousness. If given, again, the choice of, verse 18, did I read that right? Verse 19, my fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. And so again, the repeat of verse 11. And if given the choice between wisdom and earthly wealth, wisdom, obviously, God says it twice in this same chapter, are inspired it twice in this same chapter, that he intends for us to, we need to realize that. I mean, and obviously it's a problem because the vast majority of those in the world at any given time are seeking after the silver, gold, and riches. And so he repeats it twice. But given the choice, wisdom is clearly the superior, far superior choice, the choice of the wise. In fact, maybe your first choice is to choose wisdom and prove your wisdom, prove you're worthy of wisdom by making a wise choice to begin with. But wisdom also bestows riches. And another reason to pursue wisdom, for while wisdom can bestow riches, riches can never bestow wisdom. Get the priorities right, and God willing, you get both. Verse 18 again. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. New American Standard translates it as enduring wealth and righteousness. The kind of wealth that moth or rust does not corrupt, and that where thieves do not break in through and steal. Your wisdom, your durable wealth found in wisdom, in prudence, in discernment, in discretion, and all that comes with wisdom, the eternal wealth of wisdom, can never be stolen from you, can never be taken from you, will never dissipate unless you squander it. And yet, as good as that is, godly wisdom also has the potential, again, God willing, to bestow upon its owner all of these other things as well. Just thought of Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom, which involves seeking his wisdom, and all these other things will be added to you. Seek first his kingdom, seek first his wisdom. And he says, I'll give you whatever you need in whatever situation you're in. As reflected in verse 21 in particular, he says, that I may cause those that love me, wisdom, to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. Boy, can't hardly read that without thinking of Psalms 112. Seems like I've read this to you a couple times here recently, but it's worth reading again. Psalm 112, verses 1 through 3. He says, praise ye Yah, blessed is the man that feareth Yahweh, fear being the beginning of wisdom, that delighteth greatly in his commandments, statutes, and judgments, which are that along with Proverbs, one of the main places you're going to find his wisdom. And then it says, his seed shall be mighty upon the earth, the generation of the upright shall be blessed. And then verse 3, wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. God willing, you know, there are times when God has different plans for us, but God willing, not only are we blessed with enduring, durable, eternal wealth with wisdom that nobody can touch or take from us, but sometimes also that wisdom then produces the understanding and knowledge to acquire other wealth as well, to be used, of course, for ourselves and our families, but particularly for his kingdom and for our God. All right, back to Proverbs chapter 8, verse 20, 22 through 30. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning. Oh, as I read this section, I want you to see if it doesn't remind you of something, particularly in the New Testament. So let's start again here. Verse 22, Yahweh possessed me in the beginning of his way, before the works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills were brought forth, while as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the mountain, the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the seas his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then was I by him, as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Does that remind you of anything? Reminiscent of John chapter 1 and verses 1 through 4, where it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." End of that quote. Well, isn't God's wisdom principally revealed to us by means of his Word? His Word made flesh and who dwelt among us, John 1 and verse 14. And in whom, we've already read, in whom the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are embodied. He was with the Word, was God, was with God in the beginning, before the creation, and the Word, which contains his wisdom unto us, was embodied in Christ. Colossians 2, 2 and 3. Look at verse 31. Rejoice, it says, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Not so clear, New American Standard. Rejoicing in the world, his earth, God is rejoicing in his world, his earth, and having my delight, wisdom's delight, in the sons of men. And who therefore, in light of what we just discussed, and who therefore, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. He loved the world, he delighted in men, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Philippians 2 and verses 6 through 8. See how God and wisdom and Christ are also intertwined with each other, and therefore to seek one is always to seek the other. Isn't to seek Christ to seek the Father, and to seek the Father to seek Christ? And in seeking both, you seek wisdom. Verses 32 through 34. Now therefore hearken unto me. Now therefore, with all of this in mind, and of course much, much more that comes with wisdom, now hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. You want to be blessed? And you keep the ways of wisdom. Godly wisdom. Verse 33, hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates and waiting at the post of my doors. Which takes us back to the rhetorical questions found in verse 1. Wisdom, once again, is crying out at the gates and at the doorpost for there, you could say, for the taking. It's God has made it available unto those who diligently seek her out. Title of the message, Seeking or Pursuing Godly Wisdom. Note the word daily in verse 34. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of Yahweh. And thus to daily seek wisdom, to daily seek wisdom is to daily therefore seek Yahweh. As in Luke 9 and verse 23, where it says, if any man wishes to come after me, Christ is speaking, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow after me. If we're going to seek wisdom, it requires that we deny ourselves daily. Get our quote-unquote wisdom, our understanding, our knowledge, which is always inferior at best and usually wrong, get it, crucify it, and open up our heart and minds to the Christ, to the one, the only one who can provide and dispense wisdom to us. To daily seek Christ is to daily seek wisdom, and to daily seek wisdom is to daily seek Christ, the embodiment of all knowledge and wisdom. All right, verses 34 and 35. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my door. For whoso findeth me findeth life, finds Christ. For he, wisdom incarnated, is the way, the truth, and the life. John chapter 14 and verse 6, 35 and 36 together. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of Yahweh. Verse 36, but he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul, and they that hate me loveth death. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin, for the wages of rejecting wisdom, for the wages of rejecting Christ, the embodiment of wisdom, is death. They go hand in hand. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord, the embodiment of wisdom. End of chapter 8. Chapter 9 and verse 1, here's where we're going. It says, wisdom has builded her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. One of the many beautiful unifying aspects between the Testaments. And there's many of them. But this is one of them. I was thrilled when I realized it. But one of the beautiful unifying aspects between the Testaments is Solomon's testimony to not six, not five, four or eight or any other number, but wisdom's seven pillars, and James, enumeration of the same. Wisdom begins, keep this in mind, wisdom begins with the fear of Yahweh and rests upon the seven attributes cited by James in James 3:17. That's first, pure, peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, and without hypocrisy. I didn't use my fingers right, but there were seven. Full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering and without hypocrisy. These are only the foundational pillars upon which the entire house of wisdom is being built. For our house of wisdom should be an ever-expanding structure. In other words, our acquisition of our quest for godly wisdom should indeed be a lifelong pursuit. The house is never finished, because wisdom, our finite ability to attain wisdom before we go into the presence of our God, is finite. And therefore it should be a pursuit that lasts all of our lives, and will be if, as the Apostle Peter charges us in his very last words in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, we're growing in the grace and the knowledge of Yeshua the Christ, who is the embodiment of all knowledge and wisdom. And with that, I've accomplished Derek's task or challenge of preaching a message regarding godly wisdom built upon the foundation of its seven pillars. Although, that's certainly not to say that there's, that's all there is to be said about those seven pillars. That will take at least a seven-part series to preach, at least. So stay tuned. Who knows? I may yet do that sometime as well. And in the meantime, let us all seek, let us pursue, let us hunt for godly wisdom. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for, Lord, the unfathomable wealth of knowing you. And Father, being able to be bestowed with wisdom and understanding and knowledge that all begins with the fear of you as our God, our King, Judge, and Lawgiver, and found in the embodiment of Yeshua the Christ as our Lord and Savior. Thank you for making it possible, Lord, not only our salvation and our forgiveness in Him, but even our ability to attain more and more and more of your wisdom and your understanding of your entire creation and all things around us, your will for our lives. Bless us, help our young people, Lord. Help us to pass on this desire, Lord, for all the wealth, the innate wealth that comes with your wisdom in Christ. Help us to pass that on that they might seek it early. And for those of us who are beyond that age, help us to never relent in our search, Father, for you, for Christ, for grace and the knowledge of Him, and therein wisdom. Guide us, Lord, therein, and then let us employ it for thy sake, to thy praise and glory, and for the sake of thy kingdom. We ask it in Yeshua the Christ. Amen.